their difficulties as far as terrain goes. Well, Laguna Beach is so condensed that there's no let up. It's either straight up or straight down, and there's rocks, there's cliffs.
For generations, Laguna's hills and canyons have inspired artists and naturalists. But by the 1980s, much of the land had been closed to public access. It was just waiting for rediscovery by a new group of rebels, cyclists.
We were going off terrain, off piste, places where you wouldn't think you could ride a bike. It was like, okay, can we go over here? Why not? Let's check it out.
I'm Rachel O'Neill Cusey, and this is From Radical Origins. Visit Laguna Beach's series about our town and the stories that make it a California icon. Episode 2, Trails Unbound, the story of Laguna's extraordinary trail network. Act 1, Someone's Idea of Fun. One of Laguna's most defining features is its coastal mountains. These steep slopes produce beautiful coves found nowhere else. They also produced a uniquely creative culture by insulating the town. In the 80s, they were the majestic backdrop on a coastal bike ride for cyclists like Mike Hall.
When I moved from Hawaii to the mainland, call it the mainland from when you're from Hawaii, I would be riding on the road on a road bike, and I'd be riding up and down the coast.
A very competitive coastal bike ride.
And I'd be coming up on El Morro, and I'd be like, and a road biker's mentality is always to catch the guy in front of you, right? It's always about that, right? You want to pass somebody, you want to, because that's all you got on a road bike. It's just really, that's all there is. And I kept coming over by El Morro, and I'd see a bike in the distance, and I'd go, oh, here's another guy I can pass, right? And then he'd always turn into the hills. I go, where's that guy going? What the?
One day, Mike decided to follow his mystery rider.
What's going on with that, right? So I explored it, and I had a buddy who was interested in the same thing, and he knew the Rads back then, right?
To those who don't know them, the Rads are an elite group of local cyclists. Back then, they were defining the possibilities of a growing new sport we now know as mountain biking. Chad Nelson, the CEO of Surf Rider Foundation, has wild memories of riding with them back in the early days.
And these were kind of the baddest, fastest guys in town. They were innovating, you know, RADS, you know, kind of also stands for R&D. So they were innovating all kinds of cool bike stuff.
Mike became part of a group that pushed him to ride harder and farther than he ever had before. Now in the mountains and hills that used to be his backdrop.
So we got an invite, and one ride later, I was like, holy cow, this is a little bit more intense than I thought, right? Because I didn't know what to expect. And it took me on just a gentle ride, but it was like, holy mackerel, over the top. I mean, stuff that now I laugh at back then, it was just like, that's Everest right there. That's no way I'm doing that. Then over time, you kind of figure it out, but.
The crazy thing? Mike was making these breakthroughs on the same rigid frame road bike he'd been riding along PCH.
I mean, the old mountain bikes, they had no suspension, so they were rigid, front and rear. They had little tires, they had little handlebars, straight handlebars. They had a lot less gears, and everything was so, like, sometimes you ask yourself, how were we able to ride these trails on those bikes? Because those same trails are still around, and we ride them with these modern bikes, and they're not easy on today's bikes.
That's Hans No Way Ray, a legend in the mountain biking world and one of the earliest sponsored freeride athletes. In the 80s, he came all the way from Europe after the Rad's reputation had spread there.
When I was 19 years old, somebody, the whole trials movement was in Europe, told me, you should come to America and show them what real trials riding is. Because there's a new sport in America, it's called mountain biking. I got invited by one of the Laguna Rads, actually, who was a trials guy. They were all trials guys, and he said I should come over. And so I came to visit for a couple weeks or months, really. And it was right at the beginning when this sport was about to explode, when mountain biking was going on. And I got all these sponsorship opportunities. And I decided, you know what, maybe I stay for a little bit longer, another year or so. And especially the trails here in Laguna, they're always steep and technical, and the rats were known, notorious for riding the steepest stuff. Yeah, so the rats really made me a mountain biker.
The sport wasn't just a crazy way to get an adrenaline rush. It was literally trailblazing.
But the rats kept that original mountain biking spirit from the clunkers, and they had this camaraderie. They would explore new trails. There was no mountain bike trails, you know. Most of it was like either there was like some old overgrown like motorcycle trails, but or most of it was really deer trails that were adopted, and we started riding it.
For Mike and the others, carving these new trails was a full body experience.
Well, the method for defining the trails was basically just riding something in. If it was rideable, it turned into a trail. If we were crossing over to get to another place, we would just be throwing our bikes on top of the bushes and basically swim crawling across the brush to get where we wanted to go.
He also remembers it as a time of unbounded freedom from geography and from the law.
Well, it started out here and then it ended up there. So how did we get here again? I don't know. Let's just go this way this time, right? So it was kind of haphazard back in the day. And to be completely honest, a lot of it was based on avoiding the land managers back in the day where they were chasing us around trying to stop us from doing what we wanted to do. So we had to find the best and easiest, quickest way to either get away or to get to where we're going, because everything was united by a spider web of trails.
Act Two, Riding the Tiger. In the 80s, the majority of the RAD's illegal trail network lay on land that either belonged to the Irvine Ranch or OC Parks. For Mike and the RADs, riding these pristine areas was the ultimate opportunity.
This was a dream come true for a mountain biker, right? Because it was fenced off from everybody else and nobody else would go in there because there was a fence. It's like, holy cow, are you kidding me? So we actually felt like we had like won the lotto. You felt like you were part of something that nobody else was, because it was so isolated because of the fact that it was private properties.
But both were also patrolled.
It was all Irvine Ranch property and they didn't want anybody out there. It was all fenced off. It was a working cattle ranch. They didn't want you spooking the cows. They just didn't want people on their land. It's, you know, just like any private property owner, they just don't want you there. So they wanted us out, but it was virtually impossible. I mean, they tried. Don't get me wrong. They tried hard, too. And out of all the groups that tried to keep us out of the land, they were the best at it, because they knew the land as not as good as we did, but pretty well, because they worked the land as well. So they were there all the time. But so were we. And we knew how to get away, and they were mostly in vehicles. So if we knew they were coming, all we had to do is beat feet to get to a trail that we could go down, and they couldn't follow us. But they'd try to circle around and try to catch us, but guess what? They never caught us.
For the RADs, it was all a big game of cat and mouse.
Well, I mean, they were going to try and stop us from what? Having fun?
Frustrated by the elusive mountain bikers, rangers started getting more aggressive and cracking down on their illegal trails.
So, we're riding along, and all of a sudden, the headlights come on. He was waiting in the dark for us, and somehow he knew where we were, because our route is always different. Whenever we take off from this point here, we call it the pit again, is that we never know where we're going to go. Somebody just calls a ride, we make it up, and we just kind of piece it together because we know all the trails. We go, oh, we're going to go here, here, and there, and there, and there. Okay, so we're going along, not expecting anything. All of a sudden, the headlights come on, right? He's parked there waiting, blows up the headlights. He's already out of his vehicle. He has a shotgun. And how do we know he has a shotgun? He goes, halt right there. And then we hear the click, click, and we're like, you know, we couldn't see each other's faces. We had a knife, but we're like, holy... And then he discharges it. We're like, oh, this guy's shooting. So we were just like diving in the bushes, turning around, running in every different direction, like every man for himself, right? You're just sinking ship. You're just jumping off, right? Women and children be damned, right? You're on your own.
Not everyone was so lucky.
One of our guys gets collared, right? But unbeknownst to us, the guy that got collared by this guy, the ranger handcuffs him, throws him in either the bed of his truck or in the back of his vehicle, unrestrained, and then tries to chase people down in this guy, in his vehicle. So he's going at night on bumpy roads, and my buddy's in there bouncing around in the back of the truck unrestrained. The guy, he could have got hurt, right? He's like, well, you know, everyone has to like put their seatbelt on, right? He didn't have a seatbelt on. He didn't have nothing on, right? So this guy races around from gate to gate. Once again, couldn't catch anybody because we all got away except for my buddy, right? So long story short, they let him go after taking all this information, right? Because we found out he came later on. He was all shell-shocked and all that, like you would be, right? Because, you know, after the initial discharge and then getting, you know, carried around the back of his vehicle, he told us the whole story. So, of course, he had to go to a court date, and then, you know, he went to court, and the Irvine Company, who this guy worked with, was it back then, was it the Irvine Company? But anyways, whoever it was that this guy was employed by, they were like, we don't want to charge this guy for anything. Because, you know, the lawsuit would have been incredible, right? He had had him dead to rights. He's kind of like, you risked my life for what? For riding my bike out here?
With the conflict escalating, Mike started to get worried for the first time.
It got to that point where it's like, I figured it's never going to stop. And we're always wondering what's going on, what are their issues? What do they want to know? What can we do?
Something had to change.
Just like in any conflict, you've got to have some dialogue, you know, and it took one guy to do that. And that was me. So I struck up a conversation with the Rangers, you know, and it took off from there.
He wasn't the only one. Hans remembers a change in understanding slowly taking shape.
There were some Rangers, they made it their personal agenda to bust mountain bikers and to catch them, and especially if it would be a rat, that would be a golden feather on their head. But there was also a lot of other Rangers who actually worked with us. They understood that we weren't bad guys, and we were out there for the same reasons than hikers. Like, we enjoyed the nature, and we would actually respect it and work with them.
Instead of hurting the land, perhaps mountain bikers were in a position to care for it.
And let's face it, you know, we had the most experience with the land, and if anybody cared about it, it was us. We cared about it more than anybody because we were part of it from the very beginning.
A lot of the work that has been done on trails to preserve them or make them more sustainable was done by volunteer mountain bikers.
Act 3, Everyone Rides Free. When the town and the county began to buy up the Irvine Ranch land, the RAD's once illegal trails became the best way to explore the land publicly. As the RAD's subversive maintenance became a routine that kept the wilderness from eroding, the RADs underwent a change that mirrored the public authorities. At first, the club was worried about liability and potential charges regarding their trails. But as times changed, the RADs began to change with them.
They realized, you know, it's more than just being, you know, these renegade guys.
Jan Schreiber is an outdoorswoman and an avid mountain biker. She has unique insight into how the parks have developed.
And they weren't really into destroying property. Like, they were just into having fun. But as the Nature Conservancy took it over and eventually OC Parks, I think they started realizing that, you know, this is a place to protect. And it's a special place for all of us.
And today, the RADs aren't the only ones working to maintain the network of trails.
My name's David Browning. I am from Orange County Mountain Bike Association. We are the advocacy organization for trail advocacy here in Orange County and certainly in Laguna Beach, which is where we're actually based.
Unlike the RADs, who are an elite underground group, the Orange County Mountain Bike Association organizes riders of all skill level to help maintain trails. This keeps them open for visitors and keeps the land in good shape.
As I understand it, a lot of the trails came here from an organization called the RADs, which is one of the still standing social clubs in Orange County. These guys were out here building trails before the parks were even contemplated. They're trails that, frankly, in many cases are trails we still enjoy today. Not only bikers, but hikers and trail runners also enjoy. I've been always blessed by having a group to ride with, one social club or another. There's a ton of great ones here in Orange County. They're not typically all unified. We took Orange County Mountain Bike Association and created it to be able to bring together all of those organizations as a unified voice and as a unified force to be able to take care of our trails.
This kind of unity is powerful, not only for wrangling volunteers to help with trail upkeep, but for expanding access for all visitors.
Two big agendas we have, making sure that we're at the table because we're the guys that are out there maintaining those same trails that were built by our community 40 years ago, and then asking to make sure that we get to keep our access and expand our access to those trails and other open spaces in Orange County so that we can all enjoy outdoor recreation.
It's about making environmental stewardship part of your existing passion.
There's a thing called braking bumps. When people hit a corner too fast and they hit the brakes and it chops it up, it takes away from the experience. We want to repair that out. It's because we just like being outdoors. And even if we're not on our bikes, if we're holding a McLeod or a shovel and we're getting dirty, we're still outdoors getting some of that physical and mental therapy that comes from that type of recreation. So,
and ensuring everyone gets to enjoy the experience of free riding.
So for me personally, having open space is sort of my lifeline. If I didn't have it, I think I'd go a little bit crazy. You know, I work on a computer all day long, and I used to be in the office, now I'm at home quite a bit. So being able to just like walk out my door and walk the dog down to the beach, or maybe just get on my bike and go for a ride, it's a way that keeps me sane, keeps me happy, and makes me a much nicer person to be around.
So what is the legacy of the original Freeride mountain bikers? Obviously, it's complicated. At Visit Laguna Beach, we want everyone to respect our environment the same way we do. We can't condone willful trespassing, and even the RADs would advise visiting mountain bikers stay on the OC Park sanctioned trails. But on reflection, this is a case where it also yielded too many benefits to be ignored. Iconic inspiration to a growing sport and thriving industry, a rediscovery of Laguna Canyon, and miles of trails that we all take pride in. Perhaps most importantly, a new way to have fun that is somehow more than just fun. I'll let Mike explain.
You know, somebody once asked me what makes mountain biking so special? And I had to think about it for a bit, only because there are so many things that are special about it. You know, it's physical, it's demanding, it's challenging, but it's fun. It's super fun. And it's one thing that can bring you to that place where you're in the moment, right? Because you've got to be in the moment when you have to decide what you're doing instantly, or quickly anyways, right? Because everything happens so fast, so you've got to be present. And oftentimes in our lives, we're not present that much, or as much as we think we are or should be, right? So when you're riding along, all your fears and all your worries and all your concerns seem to melt away because you forget how tumultuous your life could be or is, and you're in that moment and you're having fun. You feel like a kid again. It's just like the most magical feeling ever.
And whether you ride the trails, hike the trails, hop fences or not, live in Laguna or not, I think we can all agree that this kind of freedom is something everyone should be allowed to enjoy. Trails Unbound is a story from Radical Origins, produced by Visit Laguna Beach in conjunction with Laguna Sound. This episode featured David Browning, Mike Hall, Chad Nelson, Hans Ray, and Jan Schreiber. It was narrated and created by me, Rachel O'Neill Cusey, written and produced by Skylar Vanderveen, John Zagowitz, and Linda Pribble. Special thanks to the board of directors at Visit Laguna Beach, our friends at Schieffer Chop Shop, Laguna Beach's mountain bike community, the Orange County Mountain Bike Association, and the rangers and staff of OC Parks.